Welcome to the Rancho Marietta Community Services District regular community meeting, September 1, 10 a.m. We'll get the meeting called to order. Item 2, consider finding the results COVID-19 emergency in meeting. PERSA is present a imminent risk to humanity, meeting the authorization held by teleconference pursuant to government code. So I want to continue with the Zoom call. Amelia, do you have any hands or questions?
No questions, no hands.
Okay. Let's move right into monthly updates. Kelly, please.
Thank you. The department is currently working on the following projects. Start with our personnel. Currently, we have 8 full-time gate officers and 4 patrol officers. The sergeant position is frozen. Of our 2 part-time gate officer positions that are open, one of those positions is in the process. We have a lady that's in background and pursuing the medical as we speak. So hopefully by the next time we meet, or actually the board meeting, we'll have a part-time gate officer position filled. Fingers crossed with that. We're utilizing only 2 ABA contract security officers to help us fill in our shortcomings. Patrol not covered. We're up to 264 hours in 2022. This is largely due to COVID-19 and the fact that there's no overtime allowed to fill in for patrol shifts, and our gate sergeant is, our sergeant position is frozen. Safety center repairs, I'll turn that over to Amelia or Tom.
We have a topic about it. You want to talk about it now or on the agenda?
Oh, I guess we can come back to that.
Sorry. Okay.
With our training officers for the month of August, we had a successful training session with our security staff. We have 100% compliance. They were all trained in CPR, AED machine, and first aid, and the total cost is $1,500. And the certificate is good for 2 years. And I just received the cards yesterday in the mail, and I'll disperse them to everybody or put them in their boxes or files.
Just give them to the supervisor.
Hey, yep. Kelly, a couple of things. One, first of all, thank you. I think the cost is absolutely minimal for the maximum impact to the community. I guess one of the questions I would have is, as you develop our annual calendar for your department, that, you know, we just kind of get some of these things on a almost like a training calendar. I'm sure your prior organization had something along those lines. So I would think that we could kind of develop a training calendar that would then ultimately outlay your department, actually all departments. But then what it would do is what I'm hoping is, say a few months out, we could go to one of our allied agencies and offer this training again, and have some dialogue on the benefits to the community system-wide, if you will. So just kind of something to think about. I don't want to put it right on your plate, but I think some type of master calendar for training or education, and we just kind of, like I said, we can break it down into quarters. You've got the experience, you know what I'm talking about, but just something to kind of put in the back of your mind, if you would. Sorry, continue on.
Yes, Tim, and that's one of the things that's on my list, is to have like a quarterly training. Some of the things I think we're defective in is, or could use improvement in, is our de-escalation techniques, you know, our firearms, more advanced training, specific training regarding to RMA, you know, how do we respond to a chemical fire at the waste treatment plant. So yeah, there's several things on my calendar that I like to weave in, and I understand there is funding for training. So yeah, that is definitely one of my goals, to provide training, ongoing training to our staff.
Perfect. I think that ties in to the professionalism you're trying to bring. So perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things, that's a perfect segue talking about professionalism. One of the things I'm bringing up to Tom and the GM and to this meeting here is I understand that not everybody has business cards. I understand in the past practice as the chief or the supervisor has it, and maybe a field sergeant, but really these patrol officers should have either generic cards, if not cards in their own name, so they, when they meet the public, they're able to give them the business card with all their information besides giving them mine. And I know there's some cost with that, but that's one of the things that I'm going to bring up too. I think it's important that our patrol staff and our ABA staff, when they meet a citizen and they have any kind of contact, they automatically shall give a business card so they know who they talk to and if there's any kind of follow-up information the citizen has. So well, that's one of the things I'm proposing.
Perfect. You got my support. I'm sure I can lobby the board members for that minimal cost to add some of the self-worth that comes with it and just really the efficiencies and the customer service. So
perfect. I realize there's generic cards might be good because you have a couple of the ABA contract security. They won't need permanent ones, but at least they can put their name in it on a generic one. And even if our staff, even though we have minimal turnover on patrol, if someone does leave, well, I think you have to minimum buy them like in 100 or 150 or something.
Yeah, like that. Like I said, I think for the cost, you've got my support. It's one of those. I think what we do is it'll take a couple of attempts. I know an agency I worked for, it had room on the back because we would do blood pressure checks at the stations. So, you know, we just wrote it down so they could share it with their physician. We would do something along the lines if we had an incident number. Or additional information, hey, there's room on the back to write it. This is what you need to say from that standpoint. And it's just good customer service and it adds that touch of professionalism that you're trying to bring. So
thank you. The other thing we had an all hands deck meeting with all of our security staff that met with the director maybe and our GM, and I have some feedback for them. From that meeting, they seem to be a sense that they were grateful. They like to hear that information from the top regarding Measure R. There's a lot of uncertainty right now in their minds about the jobs and their careers here. So I think that was grateful, and I think it kind of calmed the nerves here a little bit of our staff. So I wanted to at least bring that up at this point.
Thank you. And I think moving forward, you know, as you get kind of a quarterly training, I think is well, so I'm going to say it. I think as you develop that quarterly training, I think that format is going to be transferred over maybe to the other departments as well. And if it's a quarterly or semi-annual that they can reach out and touch a director directly, an example, accounting, get somebody from finance. If it's the folks on the water side of the house, let's get a director from improvements so that they can just kind of have that question and answer period. So I would say, Kelly, I am putting more work on you and I'm sorry, but you kind of get the blueprint of that quarterly training and maybe we fold that over and it goes district wide and then we can assign directors. Yes, somebody was speaking.
Sorry, this is Paula. If I may just interject really quick, we are working on an annual training plan. I know that the district water side of the house does have specific trainings and certifications that they do with the water and utility guys. So we do have a kind of a base template set up for that. It's just expanding it and getting that into play with all of the departments and making it more of a cohesive collaborative effort. So yes, thank you for bringing that up.
Perfect. Then Kelly, it sounds like I took some of the work off your plate. And I would say you and the director of administration just kind of start filling it in, get an overview of what it looks like, because there will be times where we're competing for space on training days, potentially, and some of those other things. So I do agree a district-wide training came from an organization. We had to have that because you just had so many logistical issues. So perfect. All right. I'm good. Thank you.
And I was on vacation 2 weeks, but so I didn't have a full month here. But let me move on to Rancho Murrieta, some of the things that we did do.
Well, no update on the vacation.
Right. I thought that we were going to get a little, you know, snapshot.
Yeah. In Alaska.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Huh. All right.
You can smell the air there. It's all trees and good stuff there. All right. So moving on with the with Rancho Murrieta, some of the issues we had. I spoke with the general manager over the vandalism costs of those individuals that ran over our grass median at the south gate and then took off and went to another house. So they are, I talked to them yesterday, and they are going to implement some kind of fine, if you will, and try to recoup some of the costs that incident cost to RMA and CSD. So I think it's mostly RMA, actually. It's I don't know if they're using our manning or the manning that we investigated as part of their recouping of the costs or not, but I did speak to the GM and they are actively on that. The other thing I could talk about is our compliance meeting. As you see, well, that's the next slide. I'll talk about it a little bit as we go through it. We were able to write 60 parking citations last month. That's kind of high because of all the violations that were out there. So we are working in conjunction with RMA compliance officers, so we're not overcoming the or double lapping the same areas that they're trying to do. And one of the ways we thought about doing this, and I was going to bring this up, but I'll bring it up now, is I don't quite understand. I think it's just our discretion. There's a pink copy of the citation is in the police world that's left on the cars that received the citation. And that way, they're not reticketed, or in some cases they are. But I understand through RMA, we got away from that because they basically said the community wouldn't be embarrassed. But there's nothing in our rules or regulations that say we can't do this. And then that also prevents someone else coming along giving them a citation. So I just wanted to throw that out there today and see, do we have any issues with our guys leaving a copy for the citizens that get these citations?
Well, I think a couple of things, Kelly. I know when I did my time on compliance for RMA board, I don't overly remember why we stopped asking for that. I don't necessarily know if it was over embarrassment. I just don't recall. Just as education for everybody, I can have a driveway parking citation, and it could take me a couple of weeks before I even know I have it, and two can be issued, and then I get two of them within a week mailed to me.
Right. So I think unless the person knows, unless it's raining or something, I find it to be most police departments and parking citations give a copy. I don't understand why we got away from that. So if it's if I have your support, then I'll approach the general manager at RMA and say, hey, this is what we're going to start doing.
So would this same form be filled out by the compliance officers on the RMA side?
Yes, it's the same citations. Is that they don't give a copy of it's a pink ticket. I mean, we file them and it's just taken. But I'm thinking,
I guess my question would be, why isn't it standardized?
If it's a good idea. I mean, if you get a citation, the citizen can start acting on it right away. They can start preparing for it right away.
So I would say, please have that conversation.
Okay.
The embarrassment factor, I don't understand. And I would say we want consistency across the board.
Okay.
And we can have some dialogue because, again, the driveway parking, I get the reason for it, all those things, but I just know that, and again, experience talking here, I can have a violation on Monday and I won't even know that I had it. And by Thursday, the second one's in, and by Saturday, I'm getting the one from Monday, and I don't get the one from Thursday until the following Tuesday. So to me, I would just pursue it from a consistency standpoint.
And I'm thinking, you get a ticket for doing something wrong on Friday, and there's no one there till Monday, and you get two more tickets. It's kind of unfair too. So I think it's a win-win. I think it should be done.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move forward. Thank you.
All right. I also, let's see, pink copy barcodes. Let's see. Another issue we had at the compliance meeting is there was misunderstanding about barcodes. And one of the issues Tom and is actually investigating it with Kevin is that there was some confusion. Our gate officers had received paperwork showing that a person that owns property in either north or south can give a guest pass or barcode to their guests that don't live there. And that created a little bit of backlash, if you will. Well, then if that's true, then that would resolve all the issues with our gardeners, our housekeepers, our construction people. We'll just give them a barcode. So we really need to have some clarification. So we talked to Kevin about that, and we actually produced, I think we had five exemplars of where RMA is approving guests of people that live here to have these barcodes. So we're investigating that, and we want to have some closure with that. So we get some clarification on that issue. And that was another issue that we brought up. And I think Tom brought it up yesterday. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he brought it up at the president GM meeting. That's the first in my time in the community I've ever heard of that.
Right. Like I said, there's five exemplars where we produced paperwork of that same scenario. So it could be just training on one issue. Someone needs training somewhere, or we need clarification of the policy. So that's why we brought that up. And I have another compliance meeting next week. So hopefully we'll get some final closure with
yeah.
that. But that's what happened with our gate officers.
Yeah. Because that's either a slippery slope, or you're right, it's an answer to a whole lot of questions.
Right.
And processes for the barcodes. Again, going back to my experience on the compliance committee for RMA, I when the GM mentioned it to the association GM, I had never heard of that before. So the outcome is going to give us direction one way or the other. It's right. Either some training and we can correct that, or it's an answer, and I'm not sure if RMA wants that as the answer. So yes, we need to move that forward. Thank you.
I wanted to bring that up because that was one of the hot issues of this
yep.
last. All right, moving on. I attended the Fire Safety Council meeting with the other day, and I already made my issues known to the RGM here. I attend these meetings, and they have the same theme. They have a grant that they're trying to utilize and spend to for all this fire protection here at Rancho Marietta. They talk about an evacuation plan. They talk about automating the gates. But this meeting, they really had a lot of questions about the fire hydrants, water pressure, our solar systems. If the houses were to burn and they lose the fire pressure, how long would it take to repair it? So then at this point, I told Tom that someone from the water department should have more experience than I do with the those issues should attend the next meeting. And I think that they're going to comply and have some for the water department because they have a lot of questions like that. And that's all I have with that one. Moving on to, I met with the compliance staff. And again, we shared information. We had an ADW shooting, assault with deadly weapons shooting last month. And I'll talk about that at the end with my notes. But I have met with the RMA staff and briefed them. And I've been working with the sheriff's department on that. And I'll talk about it a little bit later when we go to the next couple slides. Moving on to other entities, Tom and I both met with CSD with the garden community. We had a very good meeting, discussed camera needs, what issues that they wanted. And so we have an ongoing relationship with them. We're still doing the walking patrols. We're trying to make them feel inclusive and part of the security protection that we offer. So that was a successful meeting, and we will continue to be in contact with them. GM and I also met with board members of the village and again went over their concerns and security concerns. They wanted to talk about Measure R. They wanted to talk specifically when they have a crime, who to call. Basically the same kind of issues that the garden community had. And we're in good communication with them, and we're increasing our walking patrols in their area. So those are the two entities we met. Next slide.
I am going to apologize for this report because it comes to me in a PDF and I'm not able to fix it. You'll see that The year to date is on the next page. So here it is.
Yeah, there's a citation. We talked about the driveway parking and the overnight. That was a big one for us. And we increased our speeding. We have a new officer now that works day shift, and he's been trained. So hopefully we'll see these numbers go up when needed.
Oh, they went up a lot, Kelly.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Okay.
And as we go down to...
Date entries, standard.
Standard. As we move to get some water for this one.
And then here's our calls for service for the month. Pretty standard too. Everything's
instances of note. And I only put one in, obviously, because this was a big one. On Thursday, on 8/11/22, at about 1740 hours, CST security officers were dispatched to Reynosa Drive concerning an incident involving an ADW investigation, which stands for assault with deadly weapon. CST security officers contacted victims 1 and 2, who were standing in their driveway when they exited their patrol vehicle. Victim 1 stated the incident first occurred on Jackson Highway when he was involved with a road rage incident with a female driving an Audi. The Audi followed the Victim 1 home to Rancho Mirada South. Victim 1 arrived home. The gray Audi drove slowly by his home. Victim 1 stated he felt threatened that someone followed him to his residence and got back in his vehicle and chased the Audi down the street on Reynosa Drive towards Mirada South Parkway. Victim 1 caught up to the Audi and began to have a verbal altercation with the female driver. During the verbal argument, an unknown white male driving a dark blue golf cart with tan seats and approximately with a 7 or 8 year old child approached the area. The unknown male became involved in the verbal confrontation, which was taking place between Victim 1 and the female driver of the Audi. Victim 1 stated during the argument that an unknown male who appeared to be intoxicated raised a beer bottle in a threatening manner toward the Victim 1. Victim 1 responded by brandishing a knife that he had in his pocket and challenged the unknown male. Victim 1 decided to return to his residence and leave the area. Victim 1 stated that the unknown male made a spontaneous statement, "I know where you live." Approximately 10 minutes later, the unknown male returned to Victim 1's residence driving a white Toyota Tundra pickup truck. Victim 1 and his girlfriend, Victim 2, were standing in their driveway in front of their open garage. Another verbal argument ensued in which the unknown male driver withdrew a black semi-automatic handgun and fired one round from the driver's seat towards Victims 1 and 2. The unknown male fled the location at high rate of speed towards South Marietta Parkway. The Sacramento Sheriff responded and the case is actively ongoing. I will say this. This is the victim's statement of what occurred. We have not talked to the other witnesses involved. This case is actively ongoing with the detectives, with the Sacramento Sheriff's Department. Our office has had an active role in their investigation by providing them camera footage, identifying witnesses, giving them our reports, our information we have on the golf cart. So we've been actively giving them information, and they assured me once they come to a conclusion that they will let us know what the final outcome is. There's been a lot of calls and curiosity, but like I said, I tell the people that call, the Sheriff's Department is handling this and it is active. And that's all we have at this time.
Excellent. Thank you for that update, Kelly.
And the rest of the documents in the packet are the daily case log.
Right. Very good, Amelia. Thank you. Let's go to item number 5, update on security department security camera strategy, please.
Yeah, this is mine. And just to be very, it's a brief comment today because we're moving on from where we started. So last Friday, we had a meeting with a vendor who has experience in large scale surveillance camera operations. Throughout the Bay Area and in the Sacramento area as well, mostly Northern California. And this company named OHO Technologies is going to perform an analysis of our camera operations, the inner workings of the communications, how we utilized the camera software to review video. And they're going to come back with what they feel is a proper design for our camera system as we expand it. And to this date, we've kind of just piecemealed the cameras, North Gate, then South Gate. We recently put the camera set up over the, by the entrance to the village. And then we have cameras, we've added camera to Calero, and in conjunction with the RMA, some of these cameras are providing quite a bit of visibility for us. However, it's been kind of piecemeal without having a strategy for managing the entire system. There has been work in the past related to where we want to put cameras and the types of things that we're going to do with them, but there hasn't been an expert analysis of the technicalities of running more than 100 potential cameras through a central system such as the South Gate. So we met with people who were at the meeting last week. It was about 6 hours on Friday, included two folks, who works for the RMA and one who is part of the RMA, but is a camera expert. And so I had him join us for that purpose. And then we had one of the residents of the gardens too, who's very concerned about getting cameras up there with the soon to be opened Circle K, as well as some other issues they're having with foot traffic and stuff there in the gardens that are causing vandalism and crime. So I expect to hear something from the vendor probably in the next week or two about what they suggest we do. And then that'll end up being coming back to this committee, hopefully with the announcement of stuff we've done or stuff we're planning to do. And if we need to get approval, we'll ask for approval probably at the October improvement or security committee. And that's just an update on what we're doing with cameras right now.
Perfect, thank you. I think a couple of things, Tom. The four locations, and especially now that we learned from RMA maintenance of the wiring of the yellow bridge and that access point, that assists us quite a bit. The feel I have is the country club is very supportive of what we're trying to do. I think my humble experience tells me I've lost some ground with RMA on this camera program. So I'm going to have to go back and try and figure out how I'm going to get some of that support back. I just think we've lost what we're trying to do and as sophistication requirements that we need for our infrastructure protection, they just aren't there. So my humble experience tells me we've lost some ground there. So I have to figure that out, but very good. Okay. Update number six on the security center.
I can talk about it just really briefly. The
sure.
The contract that we had approved at the last board meeting, the gentleman, the contractor, came back with a new quote, a new and improved quote that was about $9,000 more. So we are working with the original quote because I had two quotes. And the gentleman also, the initial quote, he wanted us to put materials up front and waive the bond. And so it just seemed like too much risk on the part of the district. So we're working with the other gentleman. I spoke with him yesterday, and he's got his people that review his contract looking at our short form standard contract. And he said he'll have that back over to me today. He said everything looks good on it. And of course, he just wanted to express that there are supply issues and he'll come and do the work as soon as he gets the materials. And I said, we understand that. That's happening in America right now. So that's what it sounds like we're going to do is go with the second quote.
Very good. Yeah, at the end of the day, we need to move forward and we have funds there. So that works. Thank you, Amelia. What we thought would be an easy is not turning out as such, but very good. Item number seven, Measure R Security Special Parcel Tax Measure. I think that's you, Tom.
You are correct. I'm happy to say that we finally got to the point where we were able to fulfill the wishes of the board to try and determine a way to continue funding security at the level that the residents believe it should be, which is the 24/7 for the two gates and the patrol officers. And so what we've done over the past year is we've developed what is now Measure R, which Amelia worked with the County Registrar of Voters a couple weeks ago, and Measure R is on the ballot. It happens to be the only measure on the ballot, only thing on the ballot for Rancho Murrieta specifically this November, since there's not going to be a board election because the only three people signed up for the three positions, the three incumbents. So Measure R will be on the ballot. There's a lot of information on Measure R in the pipeline that's being issued today. We've shared the pipeline with the other agencies in the district in case they want to spread it around. To begin with, to be clear, and our attorney Dick Shanahan explained that our role as government employees is to not be for or against Measure R during our work time, and for board members, we're in committees and board meetings. But there is an opportunity to either go support Measure R or be opposed to Measure R in your own time. So I've offered to sit at tables during events or whatever and just be available to answer questions. But as it sits, I'm going to maintain a neutral platform and just explain what Measure R provides and what it doesn't provide. And I also am not able to say what happens if Measure R fails, because we have not been given direction from the board to come up with a scenario other than to make security as successful and as staffed as possible. And so that's it. There's a lot of information floating around through social media and stuff about Measure R, but if you really want to have a question answered, you can look at the pipeline today, you can look at the FAQs that we have on our website, or you can give me a call. I think it'll be interesting to find out how popular this idea of fully staffing security is going to be, and if people are willing to pay for it. Or if that doesn't pass, then we can sit down and start looking at what options are maybe out there. And that's my update on the tax measure.
Very good. I think you're right, Tom, just from the feedback of Country Club and the association from the meeting yesterday. There's the what if question if it doesn't pass. And as I told those individuals, the board hasn't even looked at it. And from a committee standpoint, I probably won't even get around to it until sometime in October, just because all efforts are going this direction. So I agree with how you answer that. Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number 8, I do have a couple of things. So, Kelly, for my own edification, my thought process is, from a training standpoint, is when somebody calls the district on security issues, and it's, we'll find out, is it, loud music, so it's an RMA type of issue, or somebody's riding a motorcycle on the grass, it's an RMA issue. But if it gets to a point where, and I don't know that threshold, I think we need to identify it, but the call taker realizes that this is above and beyond a CSD issue, an actual law enforcement issue, it's almost developing a call answering tree, where if this person is a victim, is that the question we asked? Are you a victim of a burglary? And if it's yes, did you contact Sacramento County Sheriff's?
Right, sir. Sir, and yes, I can tell you the dispatcher training for the kids that are working at is a priority for me. And I can give you a real quick example of what happened yesterday when I was out there. I had two citizens call me and they said, hey, they called me directly, not dispatch, but my office directly, which is fine. They call me anytime. And they said, hey, my son won't leave our house. He's been arrested before. You need to come out here and deal with him. And I said, well, no, let's back up a little bit. I go, well, we're security. I go, well, is he there now? Did we evict him of crime? He's like, no, but we want him out. And I said, okay, well, let's call the sheriff's non-emergency number. And she seemed kind of disheveled or didn't understand that. I go, fine, I'll send a patrol out there since the son was gone, and we'll call for you and assist you, that kind of thing. And we get out there, and our poor officer was just berated by the husband. Well, what good are you guys if you can't handle this? We're paying for you this money, and you can't handle this for us. The son is 52 years old, so and is living there, and we explained the eviction process. So again, even when we're out there, the poor officer was attacked, basically, and for something that is not in our realm to solve for them. But we still went out there, gave the number, talked to them, let them be a bouncing soundboard for them, if you will, so we could do stuff like that. But even though when we tell them, they still a lot of times don't want to get the sheriffs involved. They want us to handle it. And it's an ongoing educational process thing we have to do here. But that just happened yesterday. And going back to when we met with the village, I don't know if Tom, if you remember this or not, one of the things they were telling me, there's a person they believe that's selling narcotics in the trailer. And again, we let them know. To contact the sheriffs, and I go, but your citizen saw someone with a shotgun walking from their house to a car in the middle of the night. I go, why didn't they call the sheriffs? They're like, oh, they didn't want to get them involved. So again, it's just this is an ongoing thing where they don't want to get the sheriffs involved. And I don't know, I've never seen anything like it. So that part is those are two cases right there. That's still an educational campaign to let everybody know you need to call the sheriffs, regardless if they take 30, 40 minutes. You've been a victim of crime, and that's what they're here for. So it's a ongoing issue for me.
Excellent. No, that
I have an article, kind of a boilerplate article about the security department and its role and the things that they can do. So would you like me to put that in next month's pipeline and put it back on the website front page so that we can get the message out again?
Please. Because I get, again, community education is an absolute ongoing issue because we have it from crime prevention to fire prevention to water reduction. So I get all that. Perfect. So that kind of answered my question there. The other kind of with the phone tree type of thing. And I don't know how often it happens. It probably happens more at your level, Kelly, than say when somebody calls in. But it's kind of one of those questions where a resident will call in and they want information about something. What's going on up at Stonehouse? Or what about, you know, I heard gunshots, you know, what's the status of it? I think we just need to come up with a standard line that if it is an RMA issue, please contact RMA. If it's after hours, then we'll take the information and forward it to RMA. But our role is not to necessarily inform the community of issues, whether they're specific issues or ongoing issues that the district just isn't involved with. So like I said, I don't know if it is just something at your level or we just have to address district wide because I get that there are residents that want to know things, but I don't think we're in a position to really be informing the public on a lot of their inquiries.
Correct. And I think there's a fine line between information, what time is the country club open, what are their hours, or can you do a vacation check to what's going on with the personnel issue with this person who's no longer here, or what's going on with the active and criminal investigation. I heard this, I heard that. So again, that's training we have to get, and we're getting better at it. But every now and then, you know, that human factor comes in here. Our officers will say something, they gave out too much information, and we're working on that. They're absolutely a fine line with that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, we talked about the training. I'm just going through my stuff. Okay, perfect. The only other comment is at the end of the day, Kelly, a lot of things that the district is talking about with security is really at a higher level in my humble experience being on the board the last 3+ years, where we're actually talking about professionalism, development of personnel, where the district would like to go and be able to be consistent. And we just haven't seen that in this department. So a lot of that just really comes down to you. And so for that, I professionally and personally appreciate it from that standpoint. So thank you. Thank you. And please pass that on to the staff, because I think they're going to be a reflection of what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go. So it pays dividends. So thank you.
Thank you.
Amelia, do you have any hands or questions?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to move to item number 9 for adjournment.
I do believe that Mr. Hennig had a comment.
Oh, very good. All right.
Staff comment.
Manager.
The question I have is, we've received a call from a representative of Summerfest to reach out to the Sheriff's Department and coordinate hiring a number of off-duty patrol officers, sheriff's deputies, to work the Summerfest event, the 3-day event. And I'm asking the question of, why is the district responsible for coordinating with the sheriff? It seems to me that the RMA has the ability to coordinate hiring sheriff's deputies for the 4th of July event. I'm not exactly sure why they wouldn't do the same for the Summerfest event. And I don't know if I don't know who all is on the call. It looks like it's just us. But I don't know if it's necessarily what the role we want to continue to maintain of coordinating with the Sheriff's Department, having them come out here. They send us a bill, we pay it, and then we have to send a bill that we've paid to the RMA, and then they have to pay us. And I don't know why we're the middleman in this scenario. And I just wanted to let you know, Tim, I was going to look into it. And if the case is that it's just because we're doing it because we can or we're nice, then we're going to reconsider it, because it's really extra work that is, there's really no point in us being the middleman for this. However, if there's a legal reason that we're involved, then I'll be able to answer that question and we'll continue on as we have in the past.
No, understand, Tom, and that makes sense. I don't know if we're doing it just because we've always done it for Summerfest, and it's just been that type of issue. And so it's just been morphed into, hey, CSD, that's something you can do for the community. So there it is. What I would ask is, with only a month and a week out, we at least start our end of it, continue to have the conversation. But I would say for this year, let us take the lead just to ensure that this year's event gets taken care of. And then I agree with you. I think we work backwards, if you will, and try and figure out how do we want to do this moving forward. In the example I would use is right now, I would lean more towards that RMA would hire back off-duty sheriffs and not even inform us. And so we wouldn't necessarily know or be coordinated with it. So I think the bigger question is for larger events, ETC, Summerfest, do those groups automatically go back and hire for sheriffs? And then we're made aware of the events. But I would say for this year, they asked us, we move forward, because if we can't fill it, then they have some decisions to make. But I know, like Summerfest, we don't coordinate any of those items. But I think it's just, we've always done it as a district. But I agree with you. I think that's something community-wide that we're just going to have to take a look at and go, is it really our role? Do we have the available capacity within the workforce to do it? When RMA does it for the largest event out here, being 4th of July, and ETC does it on their own. So I would just say this year, we work to get it done. And okay. Then that'll be the long term. We tie in with, we know we're going to have ETC 4th of July. We address that on a more global level than just this year. I just don't want there to be a hang up with only 5 or 6 weeks to go until we have Summerfest.
Okay. So Kelly, those are your marching orders. Reach out to the county.
Understood.
Let them know. And I believe Summerfest is Thursday, September 8th through Saturday. No, Thursday, October 6th through Saturday, October 8th, correct?
I have the dates in the trailer. I don't have it with me.
Right. Yes. Those are the dates. I don't know if we need it for Thursday, because it's a much smaller crowd, if you will.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And so, but again, if we're having difficulties getting the sheriffs, I know that ETC has not had any issues, or I won't say they haven't had any issues. They've been able to provide correct number of sheriffs. So I just don't want it to fall through the cracks because we're this close and we just address it globally after this Summerfest.
Okay. Works for me.
Okay. Thank you. Amelia, any hands, questions?
I didn't have any hands raised, no.
Okay, thank you. To all staff members, thank you, as always. Kelly, I think you said it best. We went out to help a resident, and so, of course, we get berated because the resident's ignorant on really the level of expectation and the mission of the district. And again, I implore staff not to take it personal at all levels, whether a resident says it to their face or it's on the social media where, you know, they're just vulgar, vile comments. We'll move through this process, I'm sure, at some point. We just can't take it personal. We stay professional and consistent, and we move on. So with that, I want to thank everybody's time. Amelia, thank you as always. Have a great day.
All right. Bye. All right, bye.